Let's stand. Let's go to the word of the Lord. I don't have anything profound to teach you tonight. I just want to teach you a little bit about understanding your Bible. Let me tell you something. If you don't understand what you read, you know why most people don't read the Bible? They say we don't understand it. But let me tell you something. The Bible says it was written by men who were inspired by the Holy Ghost. So if it was written by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you, to get the meaning out, you also need the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. As the eunuch sat there in the chariot that day, and Philip being the evangelist, he jumped into the chariot with him and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man explain to me?" He said, "Where are you reading?" "Well, I'm reading about this lamb that was slain, and I'm reading about..." And he said, he took the same scripture in Isaiah and began to preach Jesus unto him. He said, "Who's he writing of, himself or somebody else?" And he began to preach Jesus. So all I want to do in all times when I minister to you, my one main goal is to open up your understanding that you may understand the scriptures. Jesus breathed on his disciples right before he left. And what did he say? Open their understanding. Because you can't accomplish what you don't understand. So I want to help you a little bit tonight in understanding about authority in the power of God. Acts chapter 2 and 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand..." Everyone hold up your right hand if you have one. All right, thank you. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God..." And look what it says. "Exalted." Right hand of God, exalted. "And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath sent forth this..." What? This promise. This Holy Ghost, "which we now see and hear." See, that they were gathered together because of what they heard, right? And they said, these men that are drunk, and they were all doing all kinds of crazy things. They said, "What you see and hear." See, this is Acts chapter 2, by the way. Right after the day of Pentecost, as we call it. And when the time of Pentecost had fully come, this is what happened. And so he said, what happened is what you see and hear is that promise that was sent called the Holy Ghost. All right, you with me? "For David is not ascended." David is who they trusted in. That was their right hand. That was their power. We trust in David. We have Abraham. We have Moses. They had some right hands that they depended on. "David, your right hand has not ascended to the heavens, but saith himself, the Lord... Master saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." I want to talk about the authority of the right hand. The right hand authority. The power of the right hand. Pray with me tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for the power of God that's being demonstrated. If it's not manifested and made flesh, God, we won't ever understand it. But because you came from glory and came to earth and you've shown yourself in the many mighty acts that you did and what you even do today and what you're going to do tonight, God, we understand that the power of God is real and that it is effective for those that believe that you can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ask or think. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Most of us, I think, anybody here left-handed, would you please raise your left hand? That was kind of slow, brother. You wasn't sure. Some people are anybody ambidextrous? Yeah? You're ambidextrous. Just as good with one as the other. See, there's very few people that way. I am definitely right-hand dominant. I mean, I can't hardly do anything. I remember one of the first times I started, when I played golf, that was a long time ago, I saw a guy that was left-handed playing golf. I thought he was fixing to hit me because it looked like he was aiming towards me. He was standing on the wrong side of the ball. I'm like, "Hey, I'm over here, you know." He said, "That's all right, I'm going that way." I said, "Oh, okay." You know, and so there's very few people that are left-handed, but for biblical terms, the right hand did not literally mean the right hand. What it meant was that being most people right-handed, their power, my power, is in my right hand. For you left-handed southpaws, I guess they call it, that would be the opposite. But you understand what I'm talking about tonight. The power and the authority of me mechanically is in my right side. And so people are right-handed dominant or the left-handed dominant, and this is where your strength of your body basically comes from. You're usually dominant one side. Your eye's dominant on one side. Your leg is dominant on one side. You have a dominant side. But as far back as we can go, I mean, you look at even in society, when people join a church, they say, let's give them the left hand of fellowship. No, let's give them the right hand of fellowship. Nobody says you got a real good handyman around church. Oh, that's my left hand man right there. That's not what you say. You say, that's my right-hand man right there. What he's saying is he is so dominant, he's so useful, that if you took my right hand away, Lord, I'd just be weakened. I would have no power. Again, don't forget our text scripture that David says, sit thou on my right hand until you make my enemies a footstool. Sit there long enough until my enemies are down there. Because it is by the right hand of his authority that you can overcome anything. Right hand throughout the Bible meant dominance. As far back as the beginning where God's people was called Israel, there was a mention of this right hand authority. You may remember the succession of power and inheritance was passed down from a father to their children. And let's go back and look at the example of Isaac and Jacob and Esau, okay? And what you will see is that Jacob gets the right-hand blessing and Esau got the left-hand blessing, but it wasn't supposed to be. It's supposed to be that the firstborn got the right-hand blessing and the other boy or other children would get some blessing, but not as much. But let's go back and see what happened. And we sometimes, I think, wrongfully accuse Jacob. Yes, he was a trickster. Yes, he was a conniver. And I've said this before. He wanted a legitimate thing, but went about doing it in an illegitimate way. He desired the things of God, but he didn't have them. What were the things of God in that day? It was the blessing, the double portion, the birthright, so that the firstborn got all the blessings of God or the most blessings of God, and the other ones were the left hand, right? But that first one got the dominant power. So Jacob, knowing that that would happen someday, he catches his brother in his weakness because he wanted his power. So he waited until he was weakened and faint when he comes in that day and he said, why don't you, now listen close, he didn't jip him. He didn't jip him, he agreed to it. Did he scheme it? Yeah, he did. But Jacob said, what good